Anybody sing when you worship? I mean, privately, anybody sing at all when you worship the Lord? Okay, some of you do. That's a good little chorus to sing worshipfully before you read. That is probably my favorite chorus in our hymnal. I love that little chorus. And personally, I would sing it every Sunday if I didn't think you'd get tired of it, but I love that. Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through 4 tonight. We're going to do something a little bit different, as I mentioned this morning. So I'm going to try to be very brief in looking at some scripture tonight so we can get to what I want to do tonight. Our focus, obviously, this week or this month has been on what? Missions. And rightfully so, we're going to focus there again tonight. And I believe our church does have a heart for missions. Of course, you know, constantly within the life of a church, people leave, move away, people come in or are new. And so we have folks that often are not familiar with things like faith promise, the concept of faith promise. I preached pretty solidly on that last year. We've had men like Jerry Boffman and others who have come and preached on faith promise giving. For some, most of you, you're familiar with it. Some are not very familiar with it. And sometimes you come from churches, or we get people in our midst that come from churches that do not support large numbers of missionaries, or the way of supporting missions is far different from what you would find here in a church like this, because we get people in that are not necessarily independent Baptist people. And that's not a bad thing. That can be a good thing, because they finally got their heart right and came to a good church. And I'm not just teasing on that, but I don't know where everybody's at on missions, but I do believe in general our church does have a heart for missions, and I'm grateful for those who give, those who are willing to pray, and this will continue that thought tonight. In Colossians chapter 4, beginning of verse 2, the Apostle Paul said, "Continue in prayer, and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak." There are things you ought to do, as I mentioned this morning. There are things that we ought to be doing. One is praying, secondly giving. If we're not going personally to Uganda like Mrs. Geiger, if we're not personally going to Nicaragua like the Blands, okay, if we're not going there, we can pray and we can give. There are things we just ought to do. It should not be a question of if I'm going to witness. It's just something we ought to do. It shouldn't be a question of if I'm going to pray. It's just something we ought to do. And that's the focus here tonight, this thought about prayer. He begins by saying, continue in it. Be constantly diligent at prayer. Now, why do you think he would use such words? Because he knows what men are like. He knows my propensity to begin to cease praying instead of continuing in prayer. So you'll find in our men's Just for Men meeting on Saturdays, we're talking about, you know, how a man can be a man after God's own heart like David. And one of the things that was a constant in David's life was his prayer life that is evidenced in the Psalms. Other things are evidenced in the Psalms about David, but one was his prayer life. And so we looked at a number of scriptures yesterday in the New Testament that have that thought, continue, be instant, go forward, you know, prayer. And the constant reminder that we need to constantly be at this, because our thought sometimes is to cease, because sometimes it's not always easy to pray. And so he says, you need to be constantly diligent, continue in prayer, and then he says, and watch in the same. As you pray, continue in it and watch in it. In other words, keep alert in prayer. Remember the words of the Lord Jesus to Peter as they went out to the Garden of Gethsemane. Remember what he said to them? He said, watch. Watch, because they were going to be spiritually attacked. anytime you get discouraged or depressed, that is a emotional, sometimes a mental attack, but it's also a vice for the devil to come in and dissuade you and keep you from doing what you ought to do, and that is to pray. He said, be alert to Satan's devices. We are not ignorant of Satan's devices. He says, continue in prayer and watch in the same, in that prayer, with thanksgiving, an attitude of thanksgiving. It reminds me of Philippians chapter 4, where we are told, as we pray, we're to do it from the attitude of thanksgiving. Let's go back there real quick to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, I want you to notice verse 6. Most of you have this memorized. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, those next two words, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And when I was younger, I used to think, why would I thank God for something that has not yet happened? I mean, it's obviously not happened because I'm still asking request for it. Why would I be thanking God for it? Because you are to pray in what? Faith. And if you are praying for something, you believe you have it, right? We have the things that we ask for. That's what Jesus told us. We are to pray by faith. And so as you pray, continuing in it, being diligent in it, and being alert in prayer, you do a thanksgiving. God, you are going to work. You are going to do this. That is the right way to pray. Then verse 3 says, with all, praying also for us. As you pray, and you're going to pray for many, many different things. Just talking about developing a prayer life. And one of the suggestions made by a gentleman by the name of Jim George, he says, start small. I remember as a teenager, I made a commitment to God to pray 2 hours a day and read 10 pages of Scripture a day. You want to know how long that lasted? Not very long. So I'm not asking you, nor do I believe God is asking you tonight to pray 2 hours a day. Start off with 10 minutes, 15 minutes. He made a suggestion. He said, just get an index card and just write down things that are important to you. My family, my job, maybe my ministry in the church, you know, special needs in my life, extended family. And he said, you begin to learn to continue in prayer and be watchful, diligent, alert over those things. Learn to do it with thanksgiving, believing that God is going to work. And here's the joy of it. God does it. God answers. And then you say, you know what? Now I ought to start praying for some others. Not just for me or my family or my situations, but other people's needs. And then one day you're going to find out, it was mentioned yesterday, I think maybe Paul mentioned, or one of the men mentioned, when we go to the prayer advances, the emphasis on those is advancing in prayer, and they have what they call the sweet hour of prayer, where everybody is required to pray for 1 hour. You say, that's impossible. And they give you a list of how to pray for an hour, and this is what was said yesterday. I was going through the list, and all of a sudden I realized, my hour's up, and I still got a lot more to pray for. And that's what happens when you begin to be diligent in prayer. You're going to find 15 minutes just isn't enough. Because you want to present people to God because you know God's going to work. You know God's going to answer. You want to pray for a whole lot more than sometimes we begin with. So anyway, the point being, we pray with thanksgiving. Going back to Colossians chapter 4, with all praying also for us. So in all the needs that we have personally and for our families, Paul said, don't forget to pray for me. That word with all just means, you know, at the same time that you're praying for your personal needs, don't forget to pray for me. Pray for me. With all praying also for us that God. Now he gets specific here. He said, this is the way I want you to pray for me. And this is where we're going tonight. Specific, particular prayer. He says, you pray for me as well that God would open unto us. He's talking about his ministry team that accompanied him on his missionary journeys. That God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. You pray that God will give me utterance, the ability to properly express the Word of God. That when I get up and I speak to people, whether, as he says in Acts 20:20, door to door, or publicly, whether it's at a riverside, at Philippi, or whether it's at Mars Hill Athens. I was going to say Alexandria. That's in Egypt. Athens in Greece. doesn't matter where it's at, listen, that God would give me utterance to say what I need to say in the right way, because not every audience is the same. I'm not going to address you the way I address a crowd in the prisons. And I do not address you the way I address the kids at Simpson Elementary. So he said, you just pray God will give me utterance to say the right things in the right way. To speak God's word and to speak the mystery. Brother Electric talked on this morning about the mystery of God. I want you to go back to Colossians chapter 1. Look at verses 26 through 29. The mystery of God. Colossians 1, 26. Let's jump back to verse 25 just to get the full intake on this. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to the working which worketh in me mightily. Paul said, it is a mystery. It was a mystery to us until the Holy Spirit opened our hearts and minds. It is a mystery to a lost man, the riches of Christ Jesus, until God opens our understanding through the Holy Spirit. But while the Holy Spirit does that, he uses a human instrument, and that's you. God uses you to help present the mystery of Christ so that they can come to full understanding, so they can become a partaker of the Lord Jesus Christ. So when we look here at Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through 4, Paul said, you continue, be diligent in prayer, watch, be earnest, understanding how easy it is to begin to falter in prayer. You do it in faith, believing with thanksgiving. He said, get specific, especially for Paul in his missionary endeavors. Pray that God would give me utterance, the right words to speak to people, so they can come to know the mystery of Christ. Verse 4, that I may make it manifest. And again, what does the word manifest mean? Make it known, to be made known. That I may make it known, manifest. And then that phrase, as I ought to speak. My responsibility, not because I'm a pastor, my responsibility because I'm a Christian. Your responsibility because you're a child of God. Now, when we were in our men's study yesterday, we looked at several verses that had that thought about continuing or being diligent in prayer. And we're not going to go through it at length like we did yesterday, but I just want to just give you, maybe these verses you can write down, because it's kind of like a theme in the New Testament. So if you want to write these references down, in verse 12 of Romans 12, Romans 12:12, we hear these words, continuing instant in prayer. Continuing instant in prayer. Praying on a dime. You're at the shop. You're working at the press. You know what? You're not allowed to take a break while you're working on that press. You got certain buttons and levers you got to push. You know, you got to be, you know, careful what you're doing. This isn't slack time. This isn't break time. But you know what you can do, even while you're being diligent at work, God brings someone to mind, instant in prayer. Let's just say, is anybody working a shop anywhere? Okay, all right. I know Tom works at the hospital, and how would you describe your job? Electronics technician. So he is working on a piece of equipment, and you have to concentrate on what you're doing. But God brings Sonny Pethel to mind. And, you know, maybe it's praying for his family. Some of them are in the Church of Christ. He wants to see him get saved. And God brings him to mind. Now, you're working. You're being diligent. But you're instant in prayer. God, would you speak to Sonny's family that they would see the truth of salvation by grace through faith minus baptismal regenerate. God, just help him see that. Instant in prayer. He doesn't have time to fall on his knees. He's not going to close his eyes lest he get shocked to death or something like that. But he can be instant in prayer. Another verse. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Everybody knows this one. Somebody quote it for me. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Somebody said it. Pray without ceasing. That means just keep praying. That doesn't necessarily mean you're praying 24 hours a day, but you're constantly in the attitude of prayer, ready to pray in any given moment. Again, I told you this before. My mother-in-law would say things like, yeah, I've learned to pray for things like a parking space. And I remember when she first said that, I thought, that's crazy. Don't pray for things like that. Until I needed a parking space. And then I learned from her, you know what, no prayer is a little prayer. You can pray about anything. And my mother-in-law taught me that. Acts 12:5. Prayer was made without ceasing of the church. Notice that. Prayer was made without ceasing of the church. They just continued to pray. Paul was in danger. He needed prayer. And people just prayed and prayed and prayed. I remember, of course, we weren't here. We were in Atlanta. But I remember people telling me the fasting and the long seasons of prayer this church had for Chris when he was so bad. And, you know, that's part of what a church family does. We pray without ceasing. 1 Corinthians 7:5. The phrase in that verse says that ye may give yourselves to fasting and prayer. We like to give ourselves to Dunkin' Donuts and Burger King and all those things. Football games and shopping and all the things we love to do. We're willing to give ourselves to something. God said, I want you to be willing to give yourselves to fasting and prayer. Now, here's what's interesting. I told them yesterday, we're not trying to be inappropriate then and not trying to be inappropriate now. That verse deals with the husband and wife coming together in intimacy. And he says, there ought to be times where you say, I will forgo the greatest joy in the life of a married man or woman so that I can just spend time alone intimate with my God in prayer and fasting. That's pretty powerful, really, when you think about that, isn't it? And then another thought, Ephesians 6:18, praying with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for, now listen, all saints. That's not the church down on Main Street. All saints meaning every believer. How many have a directory at home, a church directory? Okay, now listen. How many have a computer at home? GraceBaptistInBridgeport.com. Go to the church website and you get on the link for our what do you call that? What did I just say? Yeah, the thing I just said a minute ago that I just forgot. And you can go and you can pray for the church family. You don't even have to have those cumbersome papers. Just get on the computer. You can do that. So listen, in all seriousness, pray for one another. Are you praying for these new people who are coming into the church? Are you praying for Kevin and Melissa B? Or Jeff and Deanna Fisher? Because I don't even know who those people are. Get to know them. Begin to pray for them. See what God will do, if he'll lead them here permanently, those kind of things. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7. But the end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober and watch unto prayer. Time is drawing near. You know there's going to come a day where you don't have to pray anymore? Now this is going to sound bad on my part, but I look forward to that day when I don't have to pray anymore. I love seeing answers to prayer, but prayer is work. It's labor. I look forward to the day when all of our labor, as the song says, is done. We'll never have to witness to another person, never preach another sermon, never teach another Sunday school class, never utter another sound in prayer, because at that point we'll be face to face with him. All those who will be saved, we'll be in eternity enjoying heaven. That's pretty interesting. But the end of all things is at hand, he said. The time is getting short. And since it's getting short, you be sober, serious-minded, and you watch unto prayer. That's our responsibility. And one last verse tonight, Luke 18:1. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Because it's very easy to faint in praying. Especially when you have to wait. And prayer normally involves a lot of waiting. I have had, literally, I've had instant prayers, or I've had prayers instantly answered. At the moment, God would answer a prayer. It's happened maybe twice in my life. But normally, it's weeks or months or even years before God answers prayer. And he said, I'm the God of all patience. Now you learn the same thing. I'm glad that God is patient with me, and we need to be patient with God as he seeks to answer our prayer. So I give you all these verses tonight to show you there's a theme there within Scripture. Prayer takes a little bit of effort. Prayer is something that you got to be determined to do. You got to do by faith. You got to do with an attitude of thanksgiving in your heart and continue in it. Just don't give up. Don't give up. Now, having said all that, I'm going to have something passed out tonight. And so if I can get whoever can help just pass these out, we'll do one per person. If some other guys want to help, that's good too. Make it go a little bit quicker. I'm giving you the names of all of our missionaries. It's a list of all of our missionaries, and this is what I want you to do. I want you to get out a pen or a pencil, and I want you to take notes. If you normally don't, do it. I'm asking you as your pastor to please take out a pen or a pencil, and I want you to take some notes. I'm just going to give some notes on things about people that can be specifically prayed about. I do believe it's okay on occasions to say, Lord, bless Brother Boffman. Lord, just bless him. I don't think that's always wrong. But did you know that Jerry Boffman has specific needs? Now, one of the drawbacks in doing missions emphasis is we only do one missionary normally a week. And if you go back and pick up the prayer letters, we only put out 3 prayer letters a week. We don't give you all the prayer letters every time they come in. So often you don't know major needs at the time. So I'm just going to do something tonight a little bit different. I'm just going to give you some things that you can pray about on a regular basis. We'll start with Gerald and Diane Boffman, our missionaries with BIMI. They lead Camp Bimmy, and they lead the SMART ministry. Here's some prayer requests. They have two nephews named Corey and Ross. And they asked a long time ago, they don't really put it in their prayer letters, but I'll give this to you. They asked that they be prayed for. They're lost. Their parents were killed. They're both now college, young adult age, but they want to see these young people saved.